Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 97th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include actress Mary Hollison Bowden. Got a new series that premiered last night on AMC called Kevin Can F Himself. We'll also visit with writer and producer David Black. Got a new book we'll be talking about, Ripped Apart, Living Misdiagnosed. And we'll also visit with chef and cook Saban Lomack. Got a new series, Grill of Victory, which premieres tonight on Food Network. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, check out the shop, and share with your friends. Now, the problem with tattoos is that they're basically forever, and what might be cool in the moment may not be cool in the future. And even in the moment, what may be cool in one area may seem strange in another. Well, someone crunched the data and put together a list of tattoos that each state gets more than any other. And here are some states with some interesting tastes. Like Arizona, they get Shia LaBeouf tattoos. Yeah, he's not even from Arizona. Wyoming, they're getting coronavirus tattoos. And Maine, they're also getting COVID tattoos. Washington gets fly tattoos and Georgia gets dolphins. Now, Kentucky gets Disney characters. Now, some states are known for their placement. Utah gets tattoo eyeliner, while Nebraska gets finger tattoos. New Mexico gets more fake tattoos, and I'm assuming those are temporary tats, not the word fake, actually tattooed. Now, there are also political tattoos, which seem unlikely to age well. Now, Michigan gets Biden, Mississippi gets Trump, and Pennsylvania gets Bernie. Now, Zibia.com has the map of every state. They used local Google searches for a good portion of their data, so some states' results are tainted by the names of tattoo shops, like White Whale Tattoo in Ohio. A new series that premiered last night on AMC. Kevin can bleep himself. We've got Mary Hollis on with us today. And Mary Hollis, always good to visit with you, my friend.
Thank you so much. You're in Oklahoma?
Yes, ma'am.
You're in Oklahoma? I'm from Arkansas originally.
We won't hold that against you.
I feel like we're... No, I bring that up because in Kevin Can F Himself, I'm sorry, funny title, kind of hard for people to say. I bring that up because it actually takes place in Worcester, Massachusetts, and the accent was incredibly hard to learn. But I hope I got it down. We had our two-hour series premiere last night, and gosh, we just had a great time making the show in the middle of a pandemic. And I think the response has been pretty good.
Now, Mary Hollis, what's it like this time around, a new release? I mean, what can you compare this to? Is there anything you can compare it to?
I can't. I mean, when I talk about the show, it's what we call genre bending. So we take two genres and we stick them into the same, you know, 1 hour television show. And what I mean by that is there's, we call it a multicam, a sitcom. You grew up watching them. I would say shows like Everybody Loves Raymond, Home Improvement, Last Man Standing, things that are taped in front of a live studio audience with a big, funny male lead. It is not about that male lead. Kevin Can F Himself explores the life of his wife, Allison, who's constantly put up with his antics and tried to keep the house from burning down. And she kind of designs this life on the outside of Kevin's universe. And it's pretty wild, the lengths she'll go to make her dreams come true.
Now, you talked about the challenge of working on an accent. What, how hard is it to master that skill, if you will?
Oh my gosh. As soon as I finally learn it, I'll call you back and let you know. it was a big challenge. We had a lot of help from a dialect coach. That was lucky. AMC, really set us up for success, with, you know, kind of all the resources, but we shot the thing in, outside of Boston. So that was helpful, first of all, because, you know, you're kind of immersed in that world and, you know, an accent that is very difficult to learn and also can sound, if you haven't heard it before, a bit a bit comic, truly, is very real. And I think being around the community, those fabulous Boston people, that was really helpful. And then also what I found in the accent work was Patty really is more of an attitude. So as soon as I had the attitude down, which comes, you know, sort of from the inside, then the talking like her felt less like me doing an impression or mimicking her. And she just started to sort of slowly come out. But it was a challenge for this Arkansas girl. And also the challenge is you don't want to make anybody from New England not proud of you. they're like the best people in the world, but you don't want any of them on your bad side. So I'm just trying to make the people of New England, specifically Worcester, Massachusetts, proud. So
with the new series and COVID and everything like that, how was it more difficult to maybe get the camaraderie in the early going?
You know what? We were cast, and then we were shut down a couple of days before we were supposed to start filming. And then we all thought maybe the show was going to go away, but AMC hung with it. And 6 months later, we all relocated to Boston to film the show. And in that time, we, like everybody else, adjusted and met and worked and read scripts over Zoom. So we were kind of developing our camaraderie and our like ensemble over, you know, virtually, which a lot of people, you know, had to sort of like adjust to last year and on into this year. But I know for Annie and I, we also, you know, began our friendship. Annie Murphy, my co-star, and I began our friendship over FaceTime and Zoom during that, 6 month pause. And we got so close so quickly that I remember filming the first scenes in Kevin where we're not friends yet. And that was one of the biggest challenges of the show was like kind of trying to pump the brakes on my, you know, closeness to her and restart as if we were, you know, we're adversaries in the beginning of the series. It gets better, but we're not running together at the beginning.
There you go. Now, Mary Hollis, what can folks expect as the series progresses with new episodes coming each week?
I think they can expect a lot of chaos and watching a woman, a desperate and, you know, sort of woman who's been made miserable by her buffoon, you know, sort of controlling, manipulative husband. I think that they can expect her world to become very, very chaotic as she makes a lot of bad decisions to change that world. And in chaos, there's always humor because, you know, when things start exploding around you and you have to react to them, I think that that's what they'll see. They'll also see the story of a female friendship, which is, you know, Kevin is about a toxic relationship, a toxic marriage, but it's also about how when girls band together, they can really make anything happen. And sometimes the outcome is not good. But they are powerful and they can't make anything happen.
Again, Kevin can F himself on AMC. Mary Hollis, I always want to make sure and let folks know not only where they can find more about the show, but also everything you've got going social media wise as well.
Oh, I'm at Mary Hollis and Bowden on Instagram. I'm at Mary Hollis on Twitter. And I would love to hear from some of your audience members.
Well, that's awesome. And Mary Hollis, again, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule. Looking forward to the continuation of the series, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon, my friend.
Thank you, Cameron. Nice talking to you.
Well, holding your breath is free, so this is definitely more expensive. But if it really does work, it might be worth it. Scientists say they finally have come up with a product that cures the hiccups. Now, it's an L-shaped straw called the Hiccaway that launched on Kickstarter a year ago, and a new study found that it works 92% of the time. Now, two holes at the bottom of the straw create a small amount of pressure when you drink water through it, and that pressure repositions your diaphragm just enough to stop hiccups immediately. You can get one on Amazon for $15. You know him from some television shows that he's produced and written, some books, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Got a brand new book available tomorrow called Ripped Apart, Living Misdiagnosed, and David Black on the line with us. And first off, David, appreciate you taking the time.
Well, I'm delighted to be here.
Now, tell us where the information came to you, I guess I should say, Ripped Apart, Living Misdiagnosed, and how it came to be for you on the writing side, if you will.
A mutual friend, an actor, director who I know was filming in Baltimore, and he met Carol Stern, who was the subject of my book. Her husband was misdiagnosed. They took out virtually all of his intestines. He had only 14 inches left. And for 4 years, he had internal organs on the outside of his body. Now, twice I talked to Carol, the widow, who I didn't realize doesn't take no for an answer. And I thought, well, after the verdict, you know, the verdict is pretty perfect as a narrative about malpractice suits. So I turned it down twice, even though the material was interesting. And then the third time Carol called me, I realized, I get it. This is a love story that reveals not only how the American healthcare system doesn't work, but it's a love story that defied death. Carol told Gary, I'm not going to let you go until you're ready. And he said, I'm not going to be ready till you're taken care of. And they won a $28 million lawsuit, one of the largest in the country for individuals. And it interested me because I suddenly realized it is a love story which discusses the American healthcare system. And more than that, it's Carol, in my 40 plus years as a professional writer, I was a journalist for 20 years and did a lot of TV. There's only one other case where someone I interviewed, and I did maybe 150 interviews or articles. The only one other person became a lifelong friend, as Carol has.
I know this isn't an easy story to tell either. There's information. How hard was it to pick and choose what to share and what to keep back, if you will?
Well, Carol, as I said, was completely candid, and there was there's nothing she couldn't talk about. It was very hard for me at first before I realized she trusted me. I trusted her. But she was completely candid about everything, and that caught my attention too. I mean, she's a remarkable woman. For example, while treating her husband or watching how he was mistreated, she invented a device, sort of like a gasket for suction machines in your body. And she invented a new, better way, which doctors and hospitals are now using. But she never wanted to copyright or register it or get a profit off of it. She just gave it away. She's a remarkable woman.
And what do you think is maybe for just the average American, the average Joe out there, what do you think this book is going to maybe solidify as, like you mentioned, the inequalities, the inadequacies of our healthcare system?
Well, the book urges everybody who has any encounter with a doctor or a hospital or one of the pop-up clinics that they have, ask questions. If your doctor doesn't want to answer the questions or kind of dismisses your questions, get a new doctor. A good doctor will explain repeatedly until you understand. And, it always strikes me as amazing. I did a piece when I was a journalist where I followed a medical student, third-year medical student, around for his third year. Whenever he was on, I was on. And the three things that struck me, one is if you're a doctor, you're exhausted. If you're going to have an operation, have it at the beginning of a doctor's shift. And two, ask questions. Three, don't be afraid to be a pain in the butt, because no one knows your body or your spouse's body, your partner's body, better than you or they. And when I did this article, it just the absolute exhaustion, the lack of any kind of serious effort to teach medical ethics, and it also sort of was a rally to arms. It was a time when behavioral medicine, mind-body stuff, was just starting. So I had a little bit of background in science reporting and science narratives, but I flunked science. And so my advantage as a journalist is I would keep asking questions until I got an answer I could understand. And I think that's what people have to take away from this book. It's okay to demand that the doctor explain everything to you and that the doctor is listening.
That's right. And again, the book available tomorrow, Ripped Apart, Living Misdiagnosed. And David, I want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can find not only more information about the book, but everything that else that you've got going on as well, sir.
Well, the best thing, the book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It should be in stores starting tomorrow. Bookstores in New York and California, at least, have opened up. I think pretty much, you know, there's going to be more. You know, probably Amazon will still get the bulk of the people who sort of drifted away from bookstores because they were closed.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on limited series, mini series, based on Carol and Gary's experiences. And I've got another couple of TV shows out there, and I just finished another novel. And yes, it's a lot of work, but I've been locked down for a long time.
That's right. Well, David, I truly appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule, spending some time with us. I wish you the best of weeks and happy release day tomorrow as well.
Thank you.
Amazon Prime Day is today and tomorrow, so a lot of stuff is on sale. But there might not be quite as many deals on niche products this year because a lot of small businesses that sell through Amazon just can't afford it. Around 60% of the stuff that we buy on Amazon comes from third-party sellers, and a lot of them don't have the same deep discounts as usual. Partly because costs are up from the pandemic and they don't have as much overstock, so profit margins are tighter. For the past 2 weeks, Amazon has been offering $10 in credit if people spend $10 on select products from small businesses, so hopefully that'll help a little bit. Now, there are still a lot of discounts, though. The website CNET has put together a good list of deals for you to go check out. You might know him from hosting on Food Truck Rehab. Got a new show that's going to premiere called Grill of Victory. And we've got Saban Lomack on the line with us. And first off, Saban, appreciate you taking some time, brother.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. Be on.
Now, Saban, tell us a little bit about Grill of Victory. If folks haven't seen the previews, the trailers, and what to look forward to.
Well, you know, Grill of Victory is really special. Three rounds of, I like to call, grilling mayhem, right? So we have three amateur home cooks, just like a lot of you listening, who think you're very, very good on the grill. And each round, we are throwing new challenges at you. So you might be grilling a salad this round or a pizza the next round. At the end of each episode, the winner gets a brand new outdoor customized kitchen of their dreams. It's Food Network's biggest reward in history. So it's going down. You know, it's a lot of fun, nothing like grilling and cooking outside. And that's what Grill of Victory is all about, and having a lot of fun. It's a really fun show.
Now, talk about grilling as we come into the summer months. I mean, how much time do you spend around a grill as we look forward to those months that's available?
Yeah, great question. I mean, me personally, I like to get outside and cook on the grill as much as possible. I think, you know, just simply being outside as opposed to being in the kitchen automatically makes you feel a little more relaxed. So, you know, we try to do it a lot. This show kind of inspires you to try things and delve out of what is your normal. So whether you're making a garnish of a peach that's grilled to put on top of salmon, or like I said, you know, even cooking up something for a salad, components to put on a salad, things like that. You know, I think this show will actually get your creative juices flowing. But me personally, I like to be on the grill as much as possible. Usually is accompanied by like a cold beer too. Always good.
It's the perfect side item to go along with that. Now Saban, this last year we've had so much time to kind of rethink the way we do things. Are there any new inspirations on the grill that you've tried out that maybe surprised you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that there's, you know, like just things you can do with bread, things you could do with side items, things you could do with I mentioned fruit. I think that it's beautiful, fun garnishes that adds like a lot of different complexities and flavors. So, you know, this last year I've spent a lot of time, you know, at home, obviously like everyone else. And, you know, if you're cooking seafood, adding different elements that you can actually grill and throw, you know, we throw wood chips sometimes in our gas grill and get a little different flavors and more of a smoky flavor. So, you know, I think more so for people at home that have the time and that watch this show, it's just getting out of your norm. It's just not doing the burgers and the hot dogs anymore. And you know, I'll give you the other day, I made breakfast for my wife on the grill. I put a cast iron skillet down, some onions and some peppers, cracked some eggs, put some bread down, threw some rosemary on it, and we cooked on the grill. So stuff like that. I think just actually getting out of the kitchen and being outside.
Well, Saban, I appreciate you telling us about the new recipe, but something about morning radio and having chefs on, because I'm not a morning breakfast guy, so I'm always starving to death whenever I finish visiting with you guys.
There you go. We're doing our job if we're making you hungry.
That's right.
Now, Saban, for you, what are maybe some of the biggest misconceptions that folks have coming into grilling? I know it can be a little scary your first time around.
Yeah, and especially like when it's competition, it's scary. But, you know, I think the biggest misconception is that you have to make it some, you know, fancy, extravagant experience. Sometimes just keeping it simple is the way to go. As long as, you know, I say one of the biggest pitfalls is the timing. So if you're cooking two different types of protein, obviously they could cook at two different temperatures, or you're cooking a protein and a vegetable. So they don't go on at the same time. But the biggest misconception, I think, in general is that it has to be fancy. I think that's the fun part of barbecuing is it's not fancy. It's not this five-star kind of bougie experience. It's really just you know, transporting me to your backyard. There's something nice about it. So I think that when you can accomplish that and you can make someone feel like they've been in your backyard, that's the ultimate.
That's good stuff. And again, the premiere of Grill of Victory is on Food Network. And Saban, I always want to make sure and let folks know not only where they can find more about the show, but also everything you've got going social media-wise as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, more about the show, obviously, on Food Network and myself. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Saban Lomac, SabinLomac. Certainly appreciate the support. Tune in. You're going to have a lot of fun.
Now, Saban, coming up on Father's Day this weekend, then we go right into the 4th of July, right around the bend as well. I mean, are you ever going to get the smell of a fresh fire out of your hair?
You know what? Probably not, and I like it that way. Right? You know, I like it. I don't want to shower. I want to have barbecue sauce all over myself, hopefully some ketchup stain somewhere, like a vinaigrette. You know, I mix it all up and until my wife finally just says enough to it.
That's good stuff. Well, Saban, again, thank you for your time, brother, and looking forward to the new series.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Have a great week.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this 97th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook, all at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, you can visit our merch store where we've got hoodies, mugs, tumblers, shirts, stickers, and more. That's gqwithcam.com/shop. You can also give a one-time donation at buymeacoffee.com/GQ with Cam. If you have a special guest idea, email me, GQ with Cam, at gmail.com. Well, thanks again to Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great rest of your Monday.